The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH, I'm Andy, your host, and on today's instalment of I'm Talking to You, originally recorded and broadcast on Friday, February the 14th, 2025, at achshow.com, I will be presenting a show entitled Director's Commentaries. And the time is 10:55 a.m. here in London, making it 5:55 a.m. on the east coast of America and 2:55 a.m. on the west coast of America. Welcome to wherever you are throughout the world. Okay, so now let's move on to what I have downloaded this morning to listen to throughout the day. First up, something that I have already listened to, and that is from the People's Voice Rumble channel. UK government bombshell, millions of vaxxed are dying of fades. Now, I listened to this show, and the headline for me didn't really, or the show title didn't really represent the content. The content was a lot of turgid talk of these different doctors, none of which actually made the statement that is made in the show title. So that is something that I've always got my eyes open for, sort of clickbait title that the content doesn't support. I may be wrong, I was doing other things at the time, I may have missed something. It's a 17 minute show, so it's not going to waste too much of your time if you want to check it out for yourselves, but that was what I took away from it. Okay, I've also got Siege the Day, which is from ftjmedia.com, the Dave Gahari channel on there, downloaded that, that's about 2.5 hours, see if I get round to that later. Both Dave Gahari and James Mason were on The Sane Asylum on the Giuseppe Vangulo channel, also on FTJ Media, on Wednesday for a special 300th edition of The Sane Asylum with David Scorpio, where they talked about Charles Manson. And I'd heard years ago a show with a guy called Dion from Radio Werewolf that he did on Charles Manson, which I thought was one of the best produced shows I'd ever heard in the alternative stroke independent media. It was very well done, very interesting, and it had high production values. I actually think I had him on at some stage to talk about it because I was very impressed. So that's another show that I didn't listen to, but if you're interested, you might want to go back and look at that. As well as paulenglishlive.com. He did a special yesterday with, I believe, Monica Schaefer, Dennis Wise and Thomas Anderson on Dresden, the 80th anniversary of that bombing. I'm familiar with the story. I've read Hellstorm. I've spoken to Thomas Goodrich on the show about that as well. So it's not something I wanted to dive into again, but I imagine it would be a good show if you are interested in that topic. Then we've got the third hour of the Jeff Rentz programme from yesterday, and that was with Yoichi Shimatsu, and I believe that will be available for free on Rentz.com because Yoshi has a columnist section on there, and I looked at that this morning, and if you scroll down, the previous show from last month is on there, available free for download or listen online. So I imagine this one will be going up at some point also. And finally, from the Michael Francis YouTube channel, he had Chaz Palminteri on the show, who talked about, well, the show title is Talks, JFK Assassination, History of Bronx Tale and the Greatest One-Man Show Ever. That's about an hour, so I'm going to give that a go as well. Okay, so we went through, every lunchtime I go through the news and then to see how it's developed from the previous show, and then I broadcast it on the following day. I did that yesterday because I did the show in the afternoon. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about directors' commentaries, but I'm going to do that at the end of the show. So for those of you who just want the usual content that I put out, you don't have to sit through a topic you may not be interested in. So we're not going to finish with the Before It's News Top 10. We're going to do that, and then we're going to finish with however long it gets me to talk about, takes me rather, to talk about these directors' commentaries that I think you may be interested in. First up, I mentioned a potential show title about Michael Gabbert and Tulsi Gabbard. And I looked online, couldn't find anything. I remember looking this guy up. It was very sketchy what I could find anyway. Well, it wouldn't have worked because his name's not Michael Gabbert, it's Michael Gabbert, G-A-B-B-E-R-T. Now, this, you can't find any Wikipedia on him. You can't even find an article about him. You can only find him mentioned in other articles. So I found this article from The Guardian, which was originally published on October the 28th, 2018, entitled Falling Star, How the Tabloid with Dreams of Being a Left-Wing Son Fell from Grace. The Daily Star, which turns 40 this week, is now a middle-aged, vacuous non-entity. It's a birthday hardly worth celebrating. And so this was the paper that they were talking about, and they're just asking me to register, so I just have to click that out the way. That's the last thing I really want to register for, is The Guardian. But it talks about, it goes through it chronologically, and it gets up to about 1987, talking about a guy called Lloyd Turner, who was an editor, and he went, and after his departure, the Star's new proprietor, so I'm assuming this is around the 1987-1988 era, the Star's, Daily Star's new proprietor, Lord Stevens, astonished rival press owners by handing control of the paper to David Sullivan, the owner of sex shops, publisher of pornographic magazines, and founder of a paper infamous for its fabricated stories and headlines, The Sunday Sport. Sullivan appointed Mike Gabbert as the Star's editor, and he transformed the paper overnight after pledging to publish the biggest boobs possible in every issue. He dared to run semi-naked pictures of a 15-year-old girl who vowed to go topless when she turned 16. The exploitative nature of the exercise resulted in staff resignations, circulation plummeted instantly, MPs denounced the paper in Parliament. Advertisers, including Tesco, cancelled their contracts. After 8 weeks, Stevens pulled out of the deal, but the damage was done. And that is also when Mike Gabbert was fired. So only lasted 8 weeks as editor. Very difficult to find anything on him, but if you do type in Michael Gabbert spitting image, then you will see a spitting image fan page, which includes his puppet that I mentioned on yesterday's show. So if I get anything wrong on here, I always will come back and clarify it for you. So I hope that I have done so satisfactorily here. Okay, so let's see what's going on in the mainstream media right now. Associated Press will go to apnews.com. Russia denies Ukrainian claim it struck Chernobyl reactor shell as radiation levels remain normal. Well, this gives me the opportunity to mention a television miniseries called Chernobyl. And it was fantastically acted, beautifully shot, very eerie, all about the Chernobyl disaster that I watched recently, and you can get on Blu-ray. And if you look it up with reviews, it is extremely popular. I think it was from 2018, 2019, something like that, so it goes beyond my 2014 cutoff date of things I watch, because after that everything seemed to get woke. This one didn't. It seemed to be faithful to the story, although if you look up the miniseries on Wikipedia, there are Russian sources that deny certain claims this drama made. However, I enjoyed watching it, so if you're interested in that subject, it is well worth a look. Okay, let's move on to BBC News, see what the top 10 most read stories are on there at the moment. Let me scroll down. Dating apps could be in trouble. Here's what might take place. This is BBC In Depth. So this sounds like there's some sort of legislation coming through that will restrict what these things can do. I think that that's probably a good idea, because then, you know, people can sign different people up to things that they've not signed up for, and they never get the opportunity to say, look, I haven't signed up for this. So this is something that's annoyed me for a while, because trolls have done this to me. They can take your email address and sign you up for all sorts of things that you don't want. And rather than get an email saying, look, you need to click this to confirm it's you, you just start getting spammed. And that is why these people do it. So it doesn't seem to, it's too deep to get into, I'm afraid. So if you want to look into that, then it's the third most popular story. Headline, dating apps could be in trouble. Here's what might take place, from the BBC. Next, steroids gave me heart failure at 30 and I could die early. And where's my apology from MI5, says victim of abusive neo-Nazi agent. Well, this is a agent of MI5 that they're not revealing. I read this the other day, certainly probably not this article, but another one about it. And it just goes to show the sort of things that MI5 will go to, and then they will protect their agents afterwards. Okay, so let's move on to the Daily Mail, see what's going on at the top of this page. Something about Peter Kay, who's a British comic that I've never been that fond of. He's done the odd funny sketch. I got, funny enough, I bought this show that he did, his first one, called That Peter Kay Thing. I got it in the charity shop for £1 only a few weeks ago. I went through it. There was one scene I remembered being quite funny. It wasn't as funny seeing it second time around, and so that actually took a trip back to the same charity shop as a donation. Scientists pinpoint exactly where the city destroying asteroid strike could strike Earth in 2032. So this is something that they're talking about, some big asteroid strike hitting a city. I've seen that on numerous media sources, so nothing to worry about for another 7 years anyway, if indeed it comes true then. Let's move on to the independent media, RT.com, to kick us off. Kiev could resort to terrorism to block US-Russian rapprochement, according to a senior diplomat. Again, you're always going to get one-sided things from RT.com when it comes to Ukraine. Let's move on to the rents.com website. So we'll scroll down, see what's going on over here. And the columnist section, as I said, is on the left. So this is something that if you want to look out for shows that you know, these columnists are guests on rents.com, and certainly many of their shows that I've seen he does put up for free. So if you're scratching around for something to listen to, it's well worth going to rents.com and scrolling down on the left-hand side, seeing if there's anything that you're interested in, and clicking on it and giving it a listen. The top headline is Trump says he wants to work with Russia and China on limiting nuclear arms. That takes us to a website called scmp.com, which I've never heard of before. And then we've got a Fox News piece underneath that. Trump floats disarmament talks with China, Russia. Well, again, I'm not going to bore you with my repeated view that all these people are really working together behind the scenes. So why have all these weapons against each other if your real target is your particular population? Okay, let's move on to HalTurnerRadioShow.com. New York City erupting, Protesters clash with police over ICE raids, arrests made. And then we've got 200,000 fired, mass firings take place at multiple federal agencies. Trump fires all 93 US attorneys appointed under Biden. US aircraft carrier collides with bulk carrier vessel on high seas. And something you're probably already aware of, US Senate confirms Robert F. Kennedy as Secretary of Health and Human Services. Earthnewspaper.com, Mark R. Else's website. Let's scroll down here, see what's going on. Something here about the Great Pyramid of Giza. And there's a massive prehistoric megastructure that cannot be explained by Universe Inside You. That is a video, 26 minutes, that you might want to have a look at if you're interested in these sorts of things. I remember David Icke years ago when I was looking at some of his stuff, and he talked about the actual size of the, you know, rocks that were used to build the pyramids, and they just couldn't be lifted by man. And that doesn't necessarily mean it was giants or anything like that. We really don't know. But I think more the indication he was saying was that they did have energy sources back then, just like we do now. They were just different. And that was how they got these things built. But there's, imagine if you look into how the pyramids were built, you'd probably be on the internet all day trying to work out what fitted your view most of all. Let's move on to censored.news, Mike Adams' website. News aggregate again. VP Vance threatens Europe over Chinese open AI models. And we know that there's been a lot of AI developed by American-based companies, and that could be something there that they really want us to buy that from them and not get things from China. And finally, let's go to the Before It's News top 10 and wait for that to load up. Scroll down to number 10 to start us off, which went up 14 hours ago, 120 people viewing. Wan O'Savin, big arrest. The Gitmo March begins. I thought it was well underway. Number 9 went up 12 hours ago, 133 people viewing. Dr. Brian Ardis and Dr. Silver, all hell is breaking loose in 48 hours, 2025. Number 8 went up 5 hours ago. It's just jumped. Went up 5 hours ago, 161 people viewing. David Nino Rodriguez and Larry Ballard. Countdown to Trump's military arrests and tribunals. Get ready. Number 7 went up a day ago. 162 people viewing. Cliff high. We all know what's coming. And it's incredibly ugly. Number 6 went up a day ago. 170 people viewing. Mike King full. Trump Q secret. Special op in full swing. Get ready for the next phase. Number 5 went up 8 hours ago, 181 people viewing. WTPN situation update, President Trump emergency alert, all hell is breaking loose in 72 hours. Number 4 went up 10 hours ago, 210 people viewing. New X22 report, February 13th, Trump next phase, a traitor's justice, transparency is the only way. Number 3 went up 5 hours ago, 232 people viewing. Kim Gokwan, full situation update, the culling, assassinate Trump, question mark. Number 2 went up 3 hours ago, 288 people viewing. Judy Byington, unredacted, Valentine's Day massacre. That's today. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. When all hell will break loose, according to, and then the headline runs out. And number 1 went up 12 hours ago, 590 people viewing. SG Anon drops Intel, Trump does a blitzkrieg, they were captured. So that is the Before It's News top 10, and now I'm going to get on to the main body of the show, which is director's commentaries. So I'm just going to have a quick drink of water. Oh, got through quite a lot there. Okay, so I'm always looking for new and interesting things to listen to. I mentioned one of my favourites is the Talking Sopranos series presented by a couple of the actors, where they went through each episode and they, you know, shared experiences with the episode, analysis, funny stories, different things like that. Very entertaining. I've listened to that 4 or 5 times, but you're always looking for new things. So somehow I think I got into director's commentaries through a couple that I had by critics, not directors. So I've got all these commentaries, like I've got the Godfather films and different things like that, as I imagine many of you have, and the commentary track's on there, but I'm not going to just sit there with a commentary track on. If I can get it onto a phone to listen to, something like that, while I'm doing other things, like I would a show, then I'd be quite interested if they're any good. So I've been checking a few out, and all the ones that I'm going to run through, I've listened to. So I'm going to try and summarise them briefly. But the main aim is, I can only give you a flavour of what interests me, and I've listened to. But the best thing to do, the place that I find most of these is actually on YouTube. And what you can do is just type in a film you like and then commentary. Now, what you might get is you might get a director's commentary. What you tend to get is there are lots of channels out there that just do commentaries on films. And so you might get people you've not heard of talking about a film. It might be good. It might not be good. For example, one of my favourite commentaries were the Halloween 2, Halloween 3 and the Dead Zone commentaries by Kim Newman and Stephen Jones, who are British film critics. They made it entertaining, fun, humorous, and not disrespectful of the films they were talking about, because they did genuinely like them. They were just able to add some humor to the commentary, and as you're listening along, you remember the film as well, without watching it again. It's another experience of going through it. So if you go to YouTube and type something like that in, then just see what you can find about films, what have you, that interest you, and have a listen and see if it's something that you can add to your repertoire of things to look for to keep you busy listening during the day, which is what I'm always looking to do. Okay, so I've got 2, 4, 6, 8 in the list, so 8 links in the post for this show. I don't generally have any, but they're all there for those of you who want to try any of these out. The first one is the Wicker Man DVD audio commentary. Now, this was a 1973 film with Edward Woodward and Christopher Lee in it. It's a very well done audio commentary because it's actually moderated by a guy called Mark Kermode, who is probably the most famous living film critic in the UK today. And he moderates, and he also has the director Robin Hardy on. All of these people, apart from Mark, have sadly passed. But if you're interested in that film, or even in those actors, it's well worth a listen, because they talk about Christopher Lee's convinced that there's some sort of conspiracy that limited the film's release, things like that. And again, that's there if you want to give that a try. Next one, we've got the Martin Scorsese commentary track of the film Goodfellas, which is arguably his best film. The good thing about this commentary is it's not just him, it's pretty much everybody from of note of the cast and crew. So I'm not just talking about the lead actors, Robert De Niro, Lorraine Bracco, Joe Pesci, Paul Sorvino. They had other people on, like Frank Vincent, who were the supporting cast. And then you had people like the director of photography, Michael Ballhouse, the editor, Thelma Schoonmaker, producers, all sorts of different people talking about the film. The writer, obviously, who did the book, Wise Guy, Nick Pileggi. And it's a really good starting point, especially if you like that film, because it's lots of different people talking briefly, and then they'll switch to someone else and then bring different people in, etc., etc. I listened to it last night and I found it quite entertaining. I will be diving into that to listen to it for a second time. And that film was, of course, from 1990. Then we've got Halloween, the original 1978 film. You've got the commentary track there from John Carpenter, the director, and the lead surviving actress, Jamie Lee Curtis. I would have loved to hear a director's commentary on the Halloween film with Donald Pleasance, but we know he passed in 1995. And director's commentaries only came into fruition in around the mid to late 90s. And they didn't start off on DVD. Some of the commentaries I hear, certainly the John Carpenter ones, and he's pretty much done a commentary for every one of his films I'm interested in, apart from Escape from L.A. and Village of the Damned, which I don't recall seeing, but I will pick it up at a charity shop if I see it. But he didn't do commentary tracks for either of those. But in one of his commentary tracks, he refers to this being the Laserdisc edition of the film. And of course, when you go to the age of video, going all through the late 70s into the 80s, where it really took off, if you put a videotape in, you can't pick an alternate audio track. It's a cassette. It's a tape. You know, it's not like a 4-track tape recorder or something. 16-track. You can pick which tracks you have. That's why you didn't have commentaries on things like that. You'd have to have a second video in the set that had the commentary audio track. But with the Laserdisc coming in, they were able to put different audio tracks on there, and that is how the director's commentary was born, in my opinion. And so again there's that commentary of that classic film, which I found interesting. I know that film very well, and there were things that I learned from that commentary that I was unaware of before. Then we've got one that I've put in really just for people who are interested in more classic cinema. This is Mark of the Vampire from 1935, and the reason that I downloaded this to listen to wasn't because I've got any interest in vampire films, I haven't, but it had the commentary with Kim Newman and Stephen Jones that did such a good job on Halloween 2, Halloween 3 and The Dead Zone that I mentioned earlier, were very funny and what have you. So I thought, this is a film I've never heard of, but they might do a funny commentary track. It's about an hour, I'll give it a listen. Well, there didn't seem to be much humour in it at all, but there was just this long discussion between the two of them about all these different actors. This film was a remake of a 1927 Hollywood film that was a silent film and is, has been lost, and is regarded as a lost classic. And they make the point, it's only regarded as a lost classic because nobody's seen it, and they assume, based upon the people involved in the film, that it would be a classic, but you might end up putting it on if you found it, the 1927 version, and being disappointed. But for those of you interested in actors, actresses of that era, they go through a litany of different names, and this person worked with this one, and this one with that, and all these things. And the only ones I knew of were people like Boris Karloff. But I'm sure for those of you, as I say, who like that period of film, you may learn something from that commentary about different actors, actresses, how they were linked to different studios, directors, what have you, that you may not know before. So I put that one in there for those of you that are fans of that genre. And then we've got the commentary for Escape from New York, which is John Carpenter film again. This is 1981, and he does the commentary track with the lead actor Kurt Russell. So that was quite fun. They had a bit of a chat, and very self-deprecating Kurt Russell saying how he had to look mean and tough and all that sort of stuff, and it was quite amusing to look back upon it now. And after that, again John Carpenter, we've got They Live, the 1988 film commentary, and this was slightly different. The commentary track, of course, John Carpenter being the director, They Live is very popular in the independent alternative media, who some people within it draw inferences from that film that John Carpenter has denied. We don't need to get into that any further. But this was recorded before those inferences were made, and therefore are not referenced on this commentary track. I believe Roddy Piper died quite a few years ago at the age of 61. He did say on the commentary that he has had the most professional wrestling bouts. He said that he did about 7,000 in his career, and the second to him is Ric Flair with about 5,000. But the thing about that commentary track, a lot of it, you see, John Carpenter's a wrestling fan, and they spend a lot of the time talking about wrestlers, wrestling, things like that, that again you might find interesting, you might not. I don't think I'm going to be going back to listen to that one again, as I did for, as I planned to rather, for the Goodfellas commentary. But it's horses for courses. You may love it, check it out. Or, as I say, go and look up some films of your own and see if you like the commentary model as something to listen to during the day. And finally, I mentioned the Dead Ringers commentaries. There are two of them. This is the 1988 David Cronenberg film. The first one is David Cronenberg opens it up, but there's lots of different people talking who were involved in the production, and not quite as broad as the people that were covered in the Goodfellas commentary, but there's a good deal of different voices who were involved in the Dead Ringers film talking on that David Cronenberg commentary. And finally, I've got the same film, Dead Ringers, Dead Ringers, rather, 1988. And this is the Jeremy Irons DVD commentary. Now, he was the lead actor, and he does this commentary on his own, and he has such a good speaking voice. I've already listened to both of these commentaries twice, and I do believe I will be going into the Jeremy Irons one again. Now, if you're really unfamiliar with this sort of thing and you just want to give something a good stab in the dark, then I would recommend this one, Dead Ringers Jeremy Irons DVD commentary, which is the last link in the post for the show, simply because he talks about how a film comes about, how he was approached, how his agent was approached, how he looked at the idea of he'd have to play twins, how's he going to do it, it's something he hasn't done before, can he do it, all these different things, and how the hurdles were put up and he overcame them. But he doesn't do it in any sort of pretentious way and, oh, this was so terrible and tough. And there's one bit in it where he says that something was incredibly tough to do. He had to lie still for a scene for about 4 hours, and he said it got incredibly painful. He said, because when you're sleeping, every 15 minutes or so, you're going to naturally turn over. If you're lying in the same position, you're having to keep completely still, then you really start to ache and it can get painful, that sort of thing, which I found interesting. But he takes us on a journey from taking a film, what goes on a film, the way different things are done, the way that actually acting as twins he didn't find difficult. And he uses the anecdote of how when he started off in Shakespearean theatre in the UK, he might be doing a matinee performance of a king and an evening performance of a peasant in the same day. So this is sort of what he's doing there. But it was how he, playing twins, he had to still make you be able to distinguish between the two of them. So you had to give them different mannerisms, the way he did different things with those characters, that I found interesting to listen to. Dead Ringers is not my favourite film, but it is my favourite film acting performance, in the same way that Halloween 4 is not my favourite horror film. Sorry, not my favourite film, but it's my favourite horror film in the same vein as the Let's Scare Jessica to Death film I put up for you about a week ago, which the film critic Kim Newman referred to as his favourite film, one of his favourite films. And it relates to the fact that he saw it at the age of 14. He hadn't seen anything like that before, so it stood with him. With me, it was slightly different. I saw Halloween and Halloween 2 from a video rental shop with my natural father when I was probably about 8 or 9. And that really had an effect on a child of that age, as you can imagine. Then saw the third one and assumed that that was it. Michael Myers had died in the second one. The third one was a completely different story, and I was walking home one day, would have been around 1988, because that's when the film came out, maybe even later, because you get them in the UK later. I saw a big advert, Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers, and I couldn't believe it, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. I didn't think this would happen, because he died at the end of 2. So I remember friends at the time at school, and they were sort of looking around different video shops. One of them had a membership of a shop, I think, called Apollo Video, and they had it in. So we all, I think 4 of us, got together around my house and watched it. And the film is so well done. There is a commentary track for that as well, which is very good, very well done by the director. And essentially, it had lots of unpredictability in it that you don't always get from a horror film. And a story it just blew me away when I saw it. And to this day, I still remember that feeling when I saw it about the age of 15, 16, never thinking another Michael Myers film would come out and not imagining that there could ever be another Michael Myers film that was as good as that. And funnily enough, the director, he made that same comment. He'd been approached by Mustafa Akkad, who owns the franchise, many times. Will you direct another film? Will you direct another Halloween film? And he just felt he got it right that first time. And any subsequent effort would be inferior to what he did. And based upon all the Halloween films that have been made since then, and even before, I believe that that was the best one of the lot. Okay, so that is a little talk about audio commentaries on DVD. I hope it's given you food for thought. I would be delighted if this gives you ideas for other things to download that I've not thought of. The whole purpose of this section, as is the first part of this show where I tell you about what I've downloaded to listen to. I'm not getting paid advertising for any of this. I like listening to shows. I know you do, otherwise you wouldn't like listening to this one. I therefore want to give you as much information as I can so that you can have different things to look out for that you might not have otherwise thought of. So that being said, let's call it a show. I want to thank all of you for joining me this Friday, February the 14th, 2025, for a show entitled Director's Commentaries. I will be back with you all tomorrow morning for another episode of I'm Talking to You. And until then, folks, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day and bye for now.